Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Hello, Luke O'Neill here, and welcome to Show Me the Science, my weekly podcast. Now, this week, I thought I'd pick something that is kind of lighthearted, maybe, or at least not as serious as other topics, although it's probably serious for some people, male contraception. And the reason is, Tom, the wonderful producer, came across this story about Adam. Now, Adam's a great name for something, isn't it? It's a non-hormonal male contraception. It's a hydrogel that can be injected into the sperm duct, and then the sperm can't get out, and hey presto, you don't conceive a baby if you're that way inclined, I suppose, and trying to have a baby, you wouldn't put this in. But this is a new approach, and it's causing big excitement because it's not, there's no surgery, there's no hormones involved, and those are the usual things that men use as a form of contraception, which can mean they're not that keen on it, and it can be problematic. So this advance scene is very interesting, which I will come on to in a few minutes. But there's a long history of this, and I would guess, 30, 40 years of research where they're trying to get a male pill, you might call it. And as ever in life, the women do the heavy lifting here, don't they? And the female contraceptive was invented in the 1960s, although it goes back way back to the 40s originally, of course. And it is all about hormones, obviously, and you need estrogen and progesterone in the menstrual cycle. And it was realized really in the mid-50s, if you give high-dose progesterone or a combination of progesterone and estrogen, that will repress egg production. And therefore, the woman is unlikely to get pregnant. And the first contraceptive pills were based on these hormones. And a guy called Gerassi gets the credit. And I met him once, actually. He was a chemist. He was working for a company called Syntex. It's quite hard to make these hormones, actually. They're based on steroids. And if you're a biochemist like me, they're complicated biochemicals. They've got four rings in their structure. I'm going to give you the name of the four ring structure now. Cyclopentanophenanthrene. There's a mouthful for you. But that is the structure of all steroids. And progesterone and estrogen are steroids. Quite hard to synthesize. Guess what Gerassi did? He noticed that the yucca plant had steroids in it. Very rich in steroids. He took the steroids from the yucca plant as building blocks, and then a few short steps you could turn the yucca steroid into progesterone, and that was the start of contraceptives. And it really was a big effect because drug companies were reluctant. It was very laborious to do, and yet Gerassi said, look, we can start with this stuff and then make the pill out of it. And of course, some people rate the discovery and deployment of female contraception as one of the biggest additions to society because it freed up women from a lifetime of having children. Now, of course, some women want to do that, and that's fine. But it gave women choice and brought on the 60s. And, you know, many consider this to be a huge advance for humanity. And I think we'd all agree having the option there is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And, of course, it's widely used now all over the world. But the trouble is, it's the woman who has to take it. There are side effects, as any woman on the contraceptive will know. And there can be a risk of various problems like heart disease. Low risk, of course, and the benefits outweigh the risk. But still, the question always has been, why can't the man get involved in this? One big reason, if you read the kind of sociology of this, is the woman wouldn't trust the man. He'd tell you that he's taken the pill, but he mightn't have, because men are a bit feckless, shall we call them that. So that was one reason why it never really kind of got much traction. But then some couples would want that. They'd want to have the man taking the contraceptive. So companies began to work on it and began to develop various approaches. Now, the FDA, which is the key regulator in America, as I guess everybody knows, they have not approved a male contraceptive pill yet, which tells us something. Now, why would that be? It could be lack of effort because there aren't enough being trialled, shall we say. The second thing is there's a side effect issue, which I'll come on to as well. That's the second reason for this. So it's a bit strange that the FDA has yet to approve a single male contraceptive. Now, obviously, there's other options for men. There's the condom. There is the famous vasectomy, which many men have, and they work very well, of course, although, of course, they come at risks as well. So maybe that's where the market has been, these other approaches, as opposed to a man taking a pill. And certainly taking a pill every day wouldn't be ideal because the man might forget or not bother. And the latest developments, and Adam is one of these, some kind of patch that you stick on and you don't need to change it until a few months have gone by. So those are the kinds of options that people are looking at. But now, before we get on to Adam, let's talk about some of the ones that have been tested. Well, just like in women, progesterone actually in men can control sperm production. So it controls egg production in the female. The very same hormone can control sperm production in the male. And if a man takes progesterone, it will repress sperm production. And it does it by lowering a hormone called FSH, which stands for follicle stimulating hormone. That gets made in the male in the testes, a cell type called Sertoli cells. Specialized cells make FSH. That is a hormone that will drive another hormone called LH, or luteinizing hormone. That is made by Leydig cells. So it's quite a complicated system, and reproductive biologists have really characterized this over the course of decades. And guess what the LH does? It induces testosterone, and that's what you need to make sperm. So one of the key functions of testosterone in the male is to allow sperm to develop. Now, I'll go over that again. If you take progesterone, it represses all that. It stops the FSH production, that stops the LH, and that lowers testosterone. And now you decrease sperm production. And this works in men. If men take progesterone, it will actually work in a very effective way to lower sperm. Now, where are the problems? Well, lowering testosterone may not be the best, because testosterone has other effects. Libido goes, for instance. You can have effects on muscle strength. So again, these things aren't ideal. But now they're kind of cracking it slightly, you might say. There is a progesterone analogue called Nesterone. And that seems to work a bit better. It seems to be more regulated, shall we say. And guess what they're doing? They're giving that with testosterone. So now, that hasn't been approved yet. It's just been tested, obviously. There's actually a gel. It's called a transdermal gel. It's like a patch, I suppose. You stick it on your skin and the gel releases Nesterone, which is the progesterone analogue, and testosterone. And there you repress sperm production, and a bit of testosterone is there to keep you going, if you know what I mean. Not enough to allow sperm to develop. So as ever with drugs, and I've mentioned this before, it can be all about dose. If you get the dose of these two right, and this product says that the dose is correct for both, you will repress sperm and have sufficient testosterone there not to have these side effects that you wouldn't want. A big one actually is mood swings, because testosterone is a very important hormone and can control mood. But if you've a little bit of testosterone in the product, then you don't see these effects on mood swings. Now, that product has just finished a phase 2 trial, and it's showing great promise. It works very well in non-human primates, and we often test these things in chimpanzees first, it must be said. But there's a lot of promise that this might actually work. So maybe this product, Nesterone and testosterone, maybe the way we'll get a gel that will actually work, and that's being developed as we speak. And if it's a patch, of course, as I say, reading the trial, you change the patch once every 6 months. A bit like women have to do with their own, of course, contraceptives, but that would be useful. A patch might work then in that way. Of course, the side effects would be the issue that the FDA would look at very closely, but still, work in progress. Now, another one that is a bit more further down the track as well, it's called YCT529. There's a mouthful for you. And it was discovered, and get this, I didn't expect to see this myself, vitamin A is involved in sperm production. Isn't that incredible? And you need a bit of vitamin A to help your testes to make sperm. And that product, YCT529, that targets the vitamin A receptor and blocks it. Now, here's the scenario. You're taking vitamin A in your diet. It goes into your testes. It promotes sperm production. And now you have a drug to block the vitamin A from locking onto its receptor to trigger the sperm to be made. And that is amazing, because it causes a massive drop in sperm count in some of the trials they've done. And again, it's a vitamin A analog, so probably won't have that many side effects. The trick here will be, of course, to make sure you're not blocking vitamin A in other parts of your body, because vitamin A is needed for vision, for instance. You don't want to be going blind with this product. But it turns out that this particular subtype of receptor is in the testes, not in the eye, you know. So maybe we'll get selectivity towards the testes. That's a bit of a hypothesis at the moment. They haven't got any evidence so far that the drug is causing a vitamin A deficiency. And again, there's optimism that that particular drug might then be used. And of course, it wouldn't have the side effects of tampering with testosterone. So maybe that's another one that we'll see being developed down the line, and there's optimism around that. Now, the next one, though, is the one that Tom came across, this idea of injecting gels. Now, this was obvious in a way, because we know exactly what happens for sperm production. They're made in the testes and they go down a tube, don't they, called the vas deferens. They eventually go into the urethra and then they get ejaculated, and then the whole thing, hopefully the sperm swim up to the egg and everything happens if that's what you want to happen. So the notion then became, now a snip, of course, cuts the vas deferens. That's the vasectomy. You're cutting the tube and the sperm have nowhere to go. And they all die then, and it's harmless, of course. But the poor old sperm, they leak out of the tube and they die in the testicles, and that's the end of them. In this case, you're just sticking a gel to bung up the vas deferens. You could call it a plug if you like. And there are several of these that have been tested. Some have had side effects. They leach out and cause unwanted effects. They can cause swelling and various things. And the later ones are much better than that, actually, to be honest. There's also one that's in development that can kill the sperm. So in other words, the sperm swim up to the plug, if you will, and they hit off the sperm and the plug kills them. And that's a very effective way to decrease the sperm count. So these are all being explored. And as I say, there's optimism that this might be there's an invasiveness to it, because you've got to inject it in and find the vas deferens. So it'll cost you money to go to your doctor to do that. But at least you're not snipping it, which is a bit more involved procedure. And as I say, the safety signal so far is very, very positive on this. Now, this brings us on to Adam. Now, that looks to me to be the most advanced of these gels. It's called a hydrogel. Now, hydrogels are very interesting chemicals. They are insoluble gels, but they've got water-like properties, hence the word hydro. And they're a bit sort of, you might say, jelly-like, and they're more stable. And the beauty of this study, and get this, they gave it to two people. Now, we hate seeing this, far too few people, you know, but two men volunteered for this. They injected this hydrogel called Adam into their vas deferens, and guess what? No sperm for 2 years in the men. Now, isn't that remarkable? So whatever this material is, it's like a plug in the vas deferens, and it stays there for 2 years. And there were no side effects. Now, it's only two men, so again, we've got to be slightly cautious here. But still, talk about optimism. Now, they tested this as well in chimpanzees, lots of chimps, worked really well there as well, again with no side effects at all. And it was in chimps for a very long time, lots and lots of months went by, and the chimps were perfectly healthy and sperm count zero, remember. So from that, the fact that it works in chimps and it's safe, and then it works in humans as well, this gives huge optimism, as you can imagine. Now, the discovery has not been peer reviewed, and I always point this out, be very careful what you read. So if it's too few people and it hasn't been peer reviewed by experts, you take it with a pinch of salt, or in this case, a pinch of hydrogel. But still, looking at the data, because they did report at this company, they're called Controline, it looks pretty good to me, this. But I will wait until I see 100 men being given this, or more maybe. That'll be a classic phase one, phase two trial. And I'll wait for the real experts to look at this. Now, the kind of experts you want looking at this would be reproductive experts, obviously. Secondly, hydrogel experts, and just make sure everything is as good as it can be. And remember, the peer review process in science is extremely important. Every paper that we would try to get published, you don't just stick it in, you know, and hope that people read it. Experts have to vet it. It's called peer review. And every journal has peer review, and therefore it's a very important checks and balances thing to make sure everything is right. It's important because sometimes our biases creep in. You know, we might be claiming things and overstating data. We're human beings or scientists, you know. So you do need proper peer review. In my lab, sometimes we take a chance and send a paper in when we know an extra experiment is needed. And then the referee goes, I want this extra experiment. And it's part of the process. So again, we look for peer review. And this hasn't been peer reviewed yet. But still, as I say, it's causing great excitement. Now, you can imagine if this pans out. Let's say you're in a couple and you don't want to have a baby. The woman will go, get your hands on some Adam and inject the hydrogel, or go to your doctor, get it injected. Good for 2 years. Isn't that great? And that means the woman hasn't to take these hormones to disturb her cycle or whatever other methods that women have to use. So it could be a fantastic advance for humanity, couldn't it? I wonder what it's going to cost, of course. That's the next question, but we'll see. So again, there's optimism that this may replace other approaches to contraception. Now, while I'm at it, though, and in the interests of the wonderfulness of science, there are two other drugs being tested at the moment, and I like the look of these as well. One drug is called Adjudin, A-D-J-U-D-I-N, where the name came from, I don't know. And that goes in, right, and you take that as a tablet. It goes into your testicles and it stops the sperm sticking to the vas deferens. Now, when the sperm are swimming along, they use the edge of the vas deferens to propel them along. If you know, they slip along the tube, actually. They're not swimming as such. They're like going on a water slide. There's a good analogy. This stuff goes on the water slide and the sperm can't stick. and they can't make their way down the vas deferens. Now, that could be really interesting, couldn't it? But the trouble with that is, of course, it's a drug and it could have other targets. But still, it's being developed and being tested very, very carefully. And then another drug that goes by the name EP055. Guess what that's doing? That targets the tail of the sperm and stops the tail from thrashing around. Now, isn't that a strange idea? Sperm, as I guess most people would know, are like little tadpoles. They swim like crazy with their tails, spinning and spinning and spinning. This drug goes in and targets the tail and stops the tail from spinning. And that strikes me as very interesting. It effectively makes the sperm what's called immotile. They can't move. And motility is a key feature of sperm. So again, that's being tested. And who knows if that was safe, that could work as well. So there's a few things in development that are not hormonal, remember. These two have the advantage of not being like testosterone or whatever it might be. They're not like progesterone. Non-hormonal approaches, if the companies involved in those are lucky, they won't have any side effects and they'll stop sperm dead, either by stopping them swimming or stopping them slipping down the slide of the vas deferens. So you never know. Huge effort going into those as well. And we'll see what happens next with those ones. And we wish those companies all the best. I think that this Adam product, though, if that makes it, nobody's going to be taking tablets, I'll tell you that much. It'll be a plug that Adam is that to stop the sperm swimming up the vas deferens. You never know what's going to happen. But still, lots of research happening. And there you have it, the science of male contraception. And the future might involve a hydrogel called Adam. And thanks for listening as ever. And my podcast is a News Talk production, available for download anywhere you get your podcasts every Thursday.